Holy Ghost, just blow on us with a refreshing. Holy Spirit. Refresh us. As I was standing there, and what I was hearing is those of you that are here that you're struggling, the hunger seems to not be there like it used to be. He wants to ignite that. He wants to ignite that hunger once again. See, He doesn't want you to walk through this life with just a lackluster Christianity. He wants a fire to burn on the inside of you, an all-consuming fire. And if you will just open your heart up to Him right now and lay hold on this refreshing. Stacy's going to sing this one more time. It doesn't matter if you're standing or whether you're sitting. The point is to focus all your attention on Him. Especially if you've been struggling. Especially if you've just been wondering, what happened to the hunger that used to be inside of me? What happened to it? Why don't I hunger like I used to? I want that. I want that back, Lord. Just make that, if that's you, make that the cry of your heart and believe that you receive it. Allow Him to reignite you. Okay, Stacy, go ahead. Have your way, Lord. You know, I found out a long time ago in this walk that you get out of it what you put into it. You get out of it what you put into it. I decided a long time ago to put my whole heart into this. Everything that I am, I put into this. And honestly, I don't understand not doing that. I just don't understand that. When I look at what He's done for us, when I look at how He laid His life down for me, and that's all I want to do. And I'm sure that you feel the same. Just want to lay your life down for Him. Thank you, Stacy. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you are just glad to be here tonight? Just excited about being in the house of God. I love to be here. I love the Lord. I love to be in His house. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Amen. Nowhere else. You can go ahead and open to James. We're going to share a little bit out of James tonight. Earlier this year, I taught some messages that, and I used a rope in the messages, and it exemplified the path that God has set for our life. And as we pray out that path, we're walking out the perfect will of God for our life. And how many of you have found out along the way that there are just every once in a while, ever so often on that path, you come across a few challenges. Just a few. Not every day. Every once in a while, you come across a few. I know earlier in my preaching career, I heard a lot of people talk about the open door and the closed door policy with God. If the door's open, then it has to be God, and if the door's closed, then it's not God. And I discovered whenever I walk along this path with God, and he says, I want you to go right there. And just like Gary, most generally, what I hear is every door on that path shutting. And you just have to kick it down. You just have to go right on. You can't let anything stop you. You know, I think about Jesus. How many of you know that as Jesus walked this earth, every moment of every day, he walked in the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God. Every moment. And along the way, there was an encounter in the wilderness where there was temptation. See, the enemy knows. He knows. He knows that there are things that you're going to be enticed by, things that he's going to tempt you with. And he'll just lay out in front of where you're walking and lay these little traps and these little opportunities along the way. And I can watch here lately, especially after Pastor Dave came back from Brazil, and he had this encounter with the enemy. I can tell that the temperature around here has got turned up a little bit. It certainly has. All I got to do is look around, and I can see it. I can see that people are running into opportunities. And the important thing is, it's what you do when you come into those opportunities, when you come into those situations. It's how you respond. That's the whole key. He didn't say you wouldn't have them. He never promised you a rose garden. You're going to have them. And some of us want to detour around all of those things. You know, we want to sidestep all of that stuff. I remember when I was a little kid, where I grew up at, football was equally as important as it is here in Oklahoma. When you're a young kid, you start playing football with the hopes of, when you get in high school, play football. So I was probably at that point, about sixth grade. And we played full contact football, uniform, the whole works. And I'll never forget, I played lineman. I wasn't skilled with catching and all that other stuff. Just hit the guy in front of you, I can do that. Okay. So I'll never forget. You know, there's some things that happen to you in life that you just don't ever forget. I'll never forget this coach. Just a real rough guy. And here we were, just little kids. This guy would sit there, smoke cigarettes, cuss every once in a while, tell us to do things, you know. Great, great example for young folks. But here I was standing here, and he was going over the opponents off our defense for the upcoming game. Never forget it. I was the guard, so I stood right next to the center. For those of you that aren't familiar with football, I'm not going to explain it. Go ask somebody. But anyways, I was on the line, and the coach said, on the guy on the defensive side, this week, the guy on this defensive side, he's big. And here I was, this little kid, you know, and he's going to line up right here. And I'll never forget what I said. I said, I wish he'd line up over there. You know, I didn't want him to be across from me. And the coach looked at me, and he pulled me out, because I was one of the people that started. I was going to play. Pulled me off of there, put somebody else there. And I was like, Why did he do that for? And it took me a while. I realized he didn't want anybody up there that wasn't going to hit. That was going to be not going to be afraid. Going to stand there and stick it, whoever it was. And I've realized in this walk, my daddy, my heavenly father, he didn't want me to stop for anybody, anything. I don't mean people, I mean demonic influences, circumstances. He doesn't expect me to stop for anything. He expects me to go right straight through whatever it is I'm faced with. By using the tools he's given me, he expects me to get past every single obstacle. He doesn't expect me to detour around. He doesn't expect me to pray that those situations will go somewhere else. He expects me to apply the principles, the tools, everything he's given me, and to go through it. Why? Because I have the victory already. I have it. So why run? No matter what it is, why run? Yeah, I just have this gut feeling that there's some people wanting to run right now. I just feel it inside. There's some people wanting to run. Why? The devil is going to use circumstances. He's not going to try to come up nose to nose with you. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You got the power of God flowing through you. He's not going to try to confront you. You've got, in Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need to mow him down, the devil himself. So what's he going to do? He's going to bring circumstances to try and derail you, to try and get you to move off that path just one degree. Just a little bit. Just compromise a little bit. Once you start down that path, it's not long before you're compromising again and again and again. I want you to know something tonight. If you'll continue to do exactly what you know to do, and if you don't know what to do in a situation and you ask him and he tells you, do this, if you'll do it, I will guarantee you, you'll get to the other side of that situation. You'll do it. That's what James is going to tell us. If you ask him for the wisdom in that situation, he'll give it to you. The problem is, so many times we ask him for, okay, God, how do I get out of this? Okay, this is what I want you to do. Are you listening? Yeah, I'm listening. Okay, this is what I want you to do. You need to do some confessing about this. Can you do that? Okay, I'll do a little bit. So you do about 5 minutes of confessing. Okay, what else? No, that's not enough. Because, see, you still don't believe it. So you need to do a little bit more. But I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. I want something else. Tell me something else to do. No, that's the answer. Do that. You see, with Jesus, what happened with Jesus just before the temptation? He fasted. Do you think there was wisdom from the Holy Ghost telling him to fast? Oh yeah, in preparation for what was just ahead. Once you find, and there's times, I can tell you, there's times that, like for example with, and I've told you this before, when Debbie was faced with, cancer. I remember just before that doctor's exam, and I told Tim, I said, I can't get past this. The Lord will not let me get past this. I'm supposed to fast. And it was strong. I didn't know what was ahead. He did. His wisdom was telling me, fast, you need it. You're about to go into a battle that's the biggest battle of your whole life. You see, isn't that better? Isn't that what you want? Tell me even in advance, before I come up to that situation, what do I need? Well, you need this. Do this. You're weak in this area. This will help you. Do this. But how often do we ask Him? And we're just like what James said, double-minded. Because we ask. I've done it. Asking for wisdom on something. What do I need to do? Something's not right. What do I need to do? Do this. This is what I want you to do. And I may do it for a little while. And then I forget. And I don't do it for, you know, a long time. And then I'd ask him again. He's like, well, what did you do with that? So I'd go back to it and pick it up again and start doing it again. There's something about diligence in this walk. To be diligent. To be steadfast. To just continue doing those things that he tells us to do. Let's go ahead and read this a little bit of James. Kind of get the idea, I think, where we're going here tonight. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So here we know right off the bat who the audience in this situation, the direct audience he was writing to, would have been the children of Israel. When he talked about the 12 tribes, it was like a coined phrase. The children of Israel that had been scattered abroad, so they were not in Palestine. They had been dispersed. My brethren. See, he gets right into this. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, that's where we want to be at. That's where I want to be. I want to be at the end of that. The wanting nothing part. That's the good part. It's that process of getting from point A to point B. Of getting from where you have the situation that you're dealing with. And you want to get to the end of it. And so many times when I face this at the beginning, it's not joy that I'm sensing inside. I'm not jumping up and down. I'm not saying, hallelujah, it's another temptation. Praise God, another trial. Hallelujah. I don't know many people that do. But he said, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, and this patience, if I'll get this patience, then the end result is that I'll lack nothing. I'll want for nothing. I want to get to that point, but I don't want to have to go through the other steps to get there. I think that's the way most people are. His instructions are simple. Here he is, the half-brother of Jesus. I think the man might know something. When you're faced with whatever it is the enemy places on that path that you're walking on, you're walking on this path, you're diligent, you're doing everything you know to do, putting one step in front of the other, going in God's direction, and all of a sudden, boom, there you are right in the middle of it. And it's all around you. I remember times, and I'm sure you do too. It's like you woke up one morning, it's like, my goodness, how did I get immersed in all this stuff? And it's like it's all around me. Well, see, that's how he wants you to feel. He wants to intimidate you, the enemy does. He wants you to feel like it's you're surrounded by this whole situation. He wants your mind focused only on that. Only on that. Don't think about anything else. All I want, this is the devil. All I want you to think about is this problem, and you're in the middle of it. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing you can do. Just give up. Just quit. Just stop. Lay down. Die. The end. Hey, you don't think people go there? Oh, yeah. They go there. Some people live there. They live right on that very edge of, I quit, I lay down, I die. See, I don't live there. And I pray to God that you don't live there either. Because you don't have to live there. James is telling us there's joy here because you are already victorious. You're already victorious. You have the victory already. All you have to do is put one foot in front of the other, walk through this, and then let's go to the next verse. I want you to see this next verse. See how, what do I do when I don't know what to do? If any of you lack wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. It shall be. That sounds pretty definite. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. He's double-minded. He's got two minds. He asks God for the answer. Help me get through this, God. God gives him the answer. Do this. Tries it for a while. And God, give me another answer. Give me something else to do. Help me. Help me. That's a good prayer. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I want you to have a knowing about this. Hallelujah. That's all right. I want you to know this. I want you to have a knowing in your heart. No matter what it is that you will ever face. When you ask him for wisdom, he will give you the wisdom. And if you will be steadfast in applying that wisdom, the instruction to get you past that situation, if you will be steadfast, immovable, to the point that nobody, anybody else would have quit. Anybody else would have given up. But if you won't, you will get to the other side of it. You have his guarantee. But don't think when you try to be double-minded about it. You, in other words, you ask him and he tells you what to do. And then you don't do it and you ask for something else. Or you ask, help me. Someone pray for me. Pray for me. Well, what did God tell you to do? Well, he said, do this. Well, did you do it? Well, I did it for a little while. Well, why did you stop? Well, I got tired of doing it. Things like confessing the word, fasting. I could get tired of fasting real quick. Like maybe two meals. I'm already tired. Meditating his word. These are the things, if we can just keep them in front of us and keep doing them, you'll plow right through the devil. You'll plow right through whatever the situation that he's constructed in front of you. You'll go right through it. Here's what you don't want to do. Get right in the middle of it and then just give up and stop. Because that is a sure recipe for destruction. Because he'll start peeling you apart like a little onion just pulling you apart. Your emotions will go all haywire. Your thought life will be all messed up. I know for myself, there have been times that I have found myself right in the middle of one of those attacks. And it was all I could do to keep my mind from just working constantly, nonstop, on that situation. Can anybody else relate to that? Has anybody else been there? It's like a churning. It just churns and churns and churns. And somewhere you got to break that cycle and get the Word of God in front of you. And if nothing else, just read it, say it with your mouth. Do something to get the power of God flowing in that situation inside of you. To build some hope, to see the light at the end of that tunnel. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. It's coming whether we like it or not. So this is the time right now to prepare and be ready for it. Glory to God. All right, let's read some more, James. I'm going to read verse 8 again. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Say all. That's everything. That's every area. If you're double-minded, we'll go on. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. These two verses right here, I think, are probably the kind of verses that Pastor Dave talked about before, where if any preacher is going to skip over some things, it's going to be verses like this. Because you read through those, and it's like a little mystery twisted up right there. You're looking at the rich man, you're looking at the poor man. The poor man gets exalted. The rich man. What happened about the rich man? Does the rich man have any chance at all? Or is he pretty much just, you know, doomed? What's it saying here? As I was reading this, I remember, and if you've been here any length of time, you'll remember too, Pastor Dave, when he talked about the people that, like when the wall came down in Russia, the ones that, you know, I finally had the opportunity to get a taste of what it felt like to be in the United States. You know, they had adversity like we just don't even know. I talked to some of those people. I talked to some of those young people. The lives they lived on the other side of that wall were indescribable for us. I don't blame them. When you deal with that kind of adversity, the flesh, and how many of you remember Dave saying this? The flesh looks for a way out. He looks for a way out of that kind of adversity. And who could blame one of those young people for coming here, getting an opportunity to maybe come to a missionary school or Bible school, and, you know, being able to stay here and get a job at McDonald's and pay for an apartment and a car. And man, they're living. Who could blame them for that? Because the flesh, when it's under that kind of adversity, it'll do anything, anything to find a way out of it. And the other side of that coin is pleasure. Oh, the flesh likes pleasure. Flesh will do anything to get into pleasure. Anything. So here we got these two guys here. We have one of them that's poor. You see, he's dealing with adversity. And since the flesh hates adversity, flesh will do anything to get out of adversity, he clings to God. Clings to Him. So that's why it says right here, let me put my glasses on. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. This brother of low degree, he's in this situation. You see, we're following through these verses in James. James is drawing a picture here. He's talking, starts out with the temptation. It goes to the wisdom. Don't be double-minded in it. I'm guessing what he's talking about is a financial situation, because he goes into poor and rich man. So here's the poor man. He's dealing with temptations. And he clings to God. Clings to God. What about the rich man? Does he have any chance here? What does he have to do? But the rich, I have to read these verses together. Let the brother of low degree rejoice or glory in that he is exalted. But the rich, he's going to glory in that he is made low. Most rich people don't glory in that. Most rich people like being rich. The answer for a rich person is money. I have money. If I have a problem, I take my money and I solve my problem. Right? Where does God fit into that? Where does God fit in? We're going to have to look back here at Luke. Turn to Luke 18. Because what is taught by Jesus in Luke 18, James is alluding to in his letter in the first chapter. So go to Luke 18. We're going to start reading in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Trusted in themselves. That they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now here's the phrase that I want you to hold on to. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased. and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Now I want you to jump down to verse 18. Because in verse 18, Jesus is dealing with a certain rich young ruler. And a certain ruler asks him, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Now, as I was reading that just then, this is what he said to me. The one thing he didn't have was, he didn't trust me. He didn't have the trust in him. He didn't have it. Because when Jesus said do it, he couldn't do it. Could not do it. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." A rich man who trusts in his riches. And that's what we're talking about. So go back to James. See, the poor man didn't have any riches to trust. When he got in that difficult spot, he turns to God. And he's all in, "God, I'm all in. I'm all in." With the rich man, what the rich man has to do, he has to humble himself. So that whatever the wisdom is that Jesus tells him to do, he'll do it. You see, that rich young ruler, the wisdom that God, Jesus, gave him, he couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. See, God's not a respecter of persons. Do you understand that? I remember when I first got saved and I thought, "Man, I tell you what. If I had the money, what I'd do. Lord, I wish I was rich right now. Jesus, if I was rich right now, the things that I would do for you, if I was rich right now, if I had all this money." Along the way, I've realized something. If I would have had all that money, I would have ran off with the money. I would have. Do you think God could have given me a whole bunch of money? Sure. Sure. However he would have worked it. And I'm not preaching a poverty message by any means. But I'm preaching one thing here tonight. It's that humbling yourself to him, so that he's first place in your life. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, it makes no difference. Because he's not looking at you saying, "Oh, you're rich. Well, I'll treat you a certain way. Oh, you're poor. Well, I'll treat you a certain way." Faith works differently for you because you're poor. Faith works differently for you because you're rich. No, it doesn't. It works identically the same. And here's what will happen. If that rich man in James, if that rich man thinks the answer to all his problems is his bank account, he has a rude awakening coming. Because his answer has got to be Jesus. Just the way the poor man reached out to Jesus, because he had nothing else. I'll tell you what, if he reaches out and changes and grows and develops, that poor man gets in a place where he gets some money, guess what? He's going to have the same decision to make as the rich man. We're not exempt from it. We'll all face it. That my trust is in you, Jesus, not in money. My trust is in you. And then when I ask you for wisdom and you give it to me, I have to apply that wisdom. I cannot be double-minded. You look at some of these rich people. I can tell you why, when faced with a decision to accept Jesus and that fear grips them, it's because they're afraid to turn loose of that money because it's the control. They want to turn loose with it. If I turn loose of this, I might have to trust God. Think of it. As you walk down this path, that's exactly where he wants to take you. To where it's him and him alone. Or you crash. It's him and him alone. Well, Mark, I can't live that way. I've got to have a little bit of security, something that I can hold on to just in case this thing with God doesn't work out. And all the time, God is saying, I want you to turn loose of everything but me. And we're sitting here holding on with both hands trying to figure out, why isn't things working out for me? I don't understand it. And we've got a death grip on this security blanket. And we're asking God, God, why? Oh, why? And he's like, because you're not trusting in me. You've got a hold of this thing that you think is going to be your security and save you. And I'm the one, just me. Are you sure it's what it says? Oh yeah, I'm sure that's what it says. And so turn over to chapter 4, because there's somebody sitting there saying, are you really sure? Yeah, I'm really sure. Chapter 4. Oh, let me throw this in at the end of chapter 3. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle, easy to be entreated, it's full of mercy and good fruits. And what is that next part? Without partiality? Oh yeah. There's no partiality with God. No partiality. If you came into this with a whole bunch of money, if you came into this walk with Jesus and you were loaded, filthy rich, you know the battle that you have? Battle that you have is changing from the God of money to Jehovah. Dropping the security you have in money, placing all of your trust in him. That's the battle that you have. You came into this and you were dirt poor. You don't even know if you've got any hang-ups with money. You don't even know because you don't got no money to have a hang-up with. You're just trusting in Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, you know, you're walking down this path. Money starts, you get a job. I'm thinking God's answering your prayers as things starts coming to you. And all of a sudden, you got a little bit of money. Oh my gosh, I can't turn loose of this. This is my security. Oh, you got the same battle the rich man has now. You got the same problem. We just didn't see it before because you didn't have any money to have a problem with. But now you do, and now we see it. All right, so, oh, and the last word here. And without hypocrisy. I like that word. I taught about that a couple weeks ago, hypocrisy. The Greek, it's a Greek word. The definition of it means an actor in a play. An actor in a play. You're playing a part. You're an actor. You come to church and we all think you're holy. Whew, we think that you got it going on. We just don't know the real ugly person that you really are. So that was the Pharisees. See, James is writing this letter to people that are Jewish. These are the people that grew up watching the Pharisees, watching these religious people. The ones that had the money, they had the prestige. And these people grew up watching that. And James is having to address all these things that's going on in their mind because they're deceived into thinking, hey, that must have been right. No, it wasn't right. It was wrong. Those guys were all messed up. Jesus said, brood of vipers, that's not right. He said, your father's the devil. That's what he thought of the Pharisees. He loved the Pharisees. He loved them as people, but he hated the way they treated everyone, that religion. Chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust, you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Now look what he says in verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses. Whew. Know you not that the friendship, the word friendship is fondness of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusts us to envy? Verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, that sounds familiar. When I read that, I thought, you know, I've read something similar to that. And it's in 1 Peter. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. It's in chapter 5, where it says, God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now go back there to James. God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Doesn't say he might. He will. But it's contingent on something. It's contingent on the things that you do before that point. Submitting yourselves therefore to God. Doing whatever he says to do. When he gives you the wisdom to get through this situation, you do it, whatever it says. Whatever he says. That's what the rich young ruler could not do. Because he was in love with money and he didn't want to turn loose of that. He didn't want to turn loose and have to trust in God. As I read through James, that's the theme that kept coming up to me. If you want to get from where you are today all the way to that place at the end of your life where you're standing in the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God for your life, if you want to get to that place, the way you do it, by humbling yourself to Him in every area of your life. No reservations. Don't hold on to any of it. Don't keep back a little part of it for security reasons. Because when you do that, you're giving the enemy ammunition. With everything that's inside of you, trust Him. Humble yourself to Him. Do whatever He says to do. He'll walk you through those places. He knows what the answer is. He knows what you need. He knows where you're weak. If it's in your area of believing, He's going to send you to do the very thing that's going to bolster your faith, bolster your believing. He never intended this to be a walk of one prayer line after the next prayer line after the next prayer line. Sure, when you're young in the Lord, do those prayer lines. But that's not the walk that He wants you to have for the rest of your life. He wants you to have something inside of you, that knowing that I'm going to the end of this. I see that point out there in my future. That point that's the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God. And I will not be deterred by anything. Nothing is going to stop me. Nothing. Devil, you stick in front of me whatever you want to. I have the victory and I will do whatever God says to do and I will walk through it. I will go right through it to the end. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No evil. I want you to have a backbone of a steel rod that you won't shake, you won't twist, you won't turn. Because if we're going to get to the end of this, and the end of this is revival, if we're going to get to that place, we're going to come against the ugliest the devil can throw. I have no doubt about it. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but is it fair for someone to stand up here and not give you the reality? To whitewash and say, don't worry, everything will be okay. No. If you're going to get to the place where God's outpouring is on display here, service after service, day after day after day, 24 hours a day, you can come in and enjoy the presence of God and see miracles. If you get to that place and you don't think He's going to try and twist and turn and bend you and break you, oh yeah, He will. But we got the Word of God through the mouth of James telling us, hey, count it all joy. Count it all joy. The only way you count it joy is because you know the outcome when you start. You know you're going through to the end, no matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like. See, this is the combination of the faith message and the message of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This is the marriage of those two. The faith message, where you just go out and believe for whatever, there's some flaws in that. What if that's not the direction God wants you to go in? But when you marry that with praying in tongues and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and you're praying out the perfect will, plan, and purpose of God for your life, hour after hour after hour, you're praying it out, and you know that you're walking out that path. When you come up against the devil, against the situations that he created, when you come up against those things, it is your faith at work that's going to take you through. And if you have doubt in your heart, he's going to give you wisdom, and he's going to say, okay, deal with that this way. Just like he told me, you need to fast, Mark. You're about to face one of the ugliest battles of your life and Debbie's life. You better fast. Fast now. Did I know what was right ahead? Had no idea. But he gave me wisdom even in advance. It wasn't like I had to be right in the middle of it. He gave me wisdom in advance. Did I fast? Yeah, I fasted. He'll give you wisdom. He'll tell you, do this. This is what you need to do. You need to spend time in worship. Come and worship me. Because your level of love is maybe a little bit low. The wisdom I have for you is, come to me. And worship me. Come to me and worship me. You're a little low in this area. You need to come and spend time in my presence and worship me. The image you have inside of you is an image that has to change. Here's how you change it. Open up my word. Meditate on my word. Confess my word till that image inside of you changes. He has wisdom for you. He has wisdom. And all you have to do is ask. And then do it. And don't be double-minded. Read a little bit more here. Verse 13 in chapter 4. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Stop there. Unlike a lot of people believe, it isn't that you can just go and do whatever you want to do. Now, in this church, you know better than that. But you're going to face people that they believe that. They live their life that way. If I want to go here, I'll go here. You probably have people that you know that way. You probably have family members that look at you like you're nuts, thinking that God has a plan for your life, that there is a plan. And you come across those folks that that think they can go here and go there. They can do this. They can do whatever they want to do. That's foolish. It's foolish. And what will happen is this. When they start down those paths that they think they can travel, a lot of times they don't have any, there's no fight from the enemy. Everything looks great. Ever notice that? Everything looks great for them. They look at your life and it's like, my gosh, you what are you doing wrong? Look at me. Everything's great over here. Oh, I've seen it. I've heard it. What are you doing wrong? Your life's a wreck. You should do what I do. Come over here and do this. We decided we were going to move over there because they had great jobs over there. They had great houses, great schools for the kids. They got a church somewhere we go to. See, you don't live that way. That's foreign to your thinking. The way you live is, God's got a plan for my life. And I'm walking out that plan as I pray in tongues. Every step that I make it with purpose, knowing that at the end of this, I will fulfill every single thing that He wants me to do. Am I going to face battles? Yes, I'm going to face battles. Am I going to win? Every single time. Unless, of course, I give up and quit. But you're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. You're going to keep after it. You're going to keep doing it. Whether or not whoever's here, you're going to keep after it. Because you know what? When you stand in front of Jesus, there's not going to be anybody else there but you. Nobody else but you and Him. And what you did, how you spent your life here, that's what you're going to be accountable for in front of Him. So I don't care. You know, yeah, there's part of me that I do have compassion when I see and I know that people are struggling. Yes, I do. But is that going to affect my walk? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It can't. It can't. And I expect the same from you. You know, when we look around here at each other, it's encouraging to me just to see your face. Just to know that we're in this together. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's encouraging to me. I look for your faces. I want to see you here. I want to know that you're in this, that we are in this together. Amen? And we will make it. I can assure you. As long as you keep doing what's taught from this place, as long as you keep doing it, you will make it. You will absolutely make it. And not just by the skin of your teeth, you'll march right in to everything God has for you. And it's going to be so beautiful. It'll be so rich. It'll be everything that you ever hoped it would be. Amen. Hope that blessed you. Amen. Well, if you would, please stand up with me. We'll pray and dismiss. And then if anybody would like any prayer, they can come forward then. Father, we worship you with all that is within us. Jesus. What I heard earlier tonight, that igniting for those who feel that their walk, that hunger has gotten a little cold, a little diminished. Holy Spirit, right now, just blow that refreshing into their hearts. We worship you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, thank you for refreshing us. Thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we're changed by it. And we will hold on to what you showed us here this evening, and we'll do it. We'll be so careful to give you all the praise and the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. If you'd like to have prayer, you can come forward. Other than that, we will see you Sunday morning.